when we consider the possibility of being able to open up God's Word and seeing what He has to say on the issues that pertain to life and godliness. This is a live call and radio broadcast where you can call in your questions, and we'll be more than happy to go to God's Word for the answer. The lines are available right now, so you can go ahead and call right now. That number again is 308-9564, 308-9564. And again, we will do our best to just let the Bible speak. We stress over and over and over again that as we're giving scriptures, if you're able to write it down, that'd be great. If you're able to look it up to make sure the things that we say are in fact so, that'd be wonderful. And you'll be doing this not for us, but for yourself. There's a passage in Romans, the 10th chapter, verse 17, which simply says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so you just don't want to put your faith in man. You want to make sure you place your faith in the only place it deserves, and that is in the living God. And so you go to His Word to see what He has to say on every issue that pertains to life and godliness. That's the purpose of this broadcast. If you have a question and you want to know what God has to say about it, then go ahead and give us a call. That number to call is 308-9564, 308-9564.
And all of our phone numbers here are area code 843. So if you are outside this calling area, or you know someone that you're that is listening, or you have a different area code, be sure to know that this are area code 843. The voice line again is 308-9564, 308-9564. That is the voice line. Both lines are available right now. And so if you want to take the opportunity to get your question in right now, then by all means, jump on and be able to get those answers to your questions right now. Now, we have another way to communicate with us, and that would be 725-9283. That's the text line. Text line is 725-9283. That is the text line for you to text in your question via your cell phone. Anywhere in the world, you can do that. Again, that's area code 843-725-9283. Either way you would like to communicate with us, it is up to you. We are happy to be able to get your question, and we'll go directly to the Bible for the answer to the question that is on your mind. So don't miss out on getting your question on today's broadcast, and we'll go to the Bible for the answer. Ladies and gentlemen, you are the one that sets the theme for this radio broadcast. You also are the one that gets the questions to be answered on this broadcast, but it is God that gives the answer. We'll go directly to the Bible for those answers. And so please don't miss out on that. It'll be your topic, your theme, but God is the one that gives the answers as we go to the Bible and let the Bible speak. So please go ahead and join us right now as we go to the Bible for the answers to the questions on your mind. This is a free event, and everything that we offer on this broadcast is absolutely free, so don't miss out on this. Make certain that you get your question answered today. There is one line available if you would like to call right now. The number is 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak to the question that is on your mind. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you have relatives or friends that live outside this low country area of Charleston, they also can join us right now via the internet. If they have access to their computer, they can go to our website, which is at www.biblealone.com, and they hit the live stream button, and they can join us anywhere in the world via the computer or at the website by hitting the live stream. And so if you have friends or relatives that are interested and you think that they would benefit by listening to this program and participating in it, then let them be aware of this. Let them know about this. Also, let them know that it's area code 843. And they can join us, and they can also text us right now as we study God's Word together. And we are more than happy to be able to let the Bible speak no matter where they are. We have people that are tuning in India, it seems, as well as various parts of the United States. So please don't miss out on this, and we will be glad to go to the Bible for the answer. Again, that website is www.BibleAlone.com, and they can join in through that website. Now, if you're local, you have a question, go ahead and call 308-9564. Nick, you have the first question?
Yes, Sam calls in today, or I'm sorry, Kim calls in. Both of them called in, and I believe Ricky will have an answer for Sam's question in just a few moments. But I have Kim's question, and Kim says, physical abuse, what does the Bible say about it by either the husband or the wife? Well, Kim, you know, very good question. When you especially start talking about things like this, we definitely want to go to God's word for the answer. And so God doesn't permit that. He just does not permit abuse, right? When any type of abuse, God does not permit that for anybody under any circumstances. But especially within the marital relationship. Here's what God says to the husbands in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. He says, you know, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. And so the kind of love that the husband is to have for his wife is one of a sacrificial love. Well, that doesn't look like, you know, beating or abusing your spouse. It says in verse 26, the reason why God did this was that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. Verse 27, that he might present her to himself. So the Bible is using the church to represent the bride of Jesus Christ. And so everything that Jesus did for his bride was so that he might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. And so then the husband, if he really loves his wife like he's supposed to, then he's going to do all that he can to present his wife to himself without any blemish. Is it that she might have what she needs to be sustained, might be encouraged, might be strengthened. In verse 28, he says, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. Is it he who loves his wife loves himself? For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, just as the Lord does the church. And so then what's the picture here is that the husband's job is to nourish and to cherish his wife. And that doesn't look like abuse. Doesn't even sound like abuse at all. So again, God does not permit that or allow that. And what he says to the wife, he says to the wife in verse 22, he says, wives, submit to your own husband as to the Lord. You see, that relationship that's described there would not allow the wife to abuse her husband either. And so then there's supposed to be this mutual relationship, this mutual respect between the husband and wife. In verse 33 of Ephesians chapter 5, he says, nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. I just don't see how a person can read verse 33 and then think that they can abuse each other. No verbal abuse, no physical abuse. Again, God would not support that. The scriptures won't support that. Nor allow that. One other passage that may be helpful is 1 Corinthians chapter 7, because sometimes there are spouses that find themselves in an abusive relationship and they feel that their lives are in danger. Well, certainly you have the wherewithal to get yourself out of danger. Now, there's nothing in the scripture that would allow that to be a reason for divorce, but God does not say you have to stay in a place, a location, where, you know, you feel your life is going to be in danger. And so I offer up 1 Corinthians 7 just as a help to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, in verse 10, Paul says, now unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, a wife is not to depart from her husband. But even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and the husband is not to divorce his wife. It's God's intent that the marital relationship would be forever. And that's just the way it is. That's what we find in the scripture. But if I feel like I'm in a situation where my life is in danger, if I'm in a place where my life is in danger, then certainly I can leave that place. But in this particular text, God still wants the husband and wife to work towards reconciliation. I hope that's been helpful to you. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564. 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak.
Both lines are available, and so don't miss out on this. To get your question in today, you will set the topic and theme, and God will give the answer. 308-9564 is the voice line, or you can text us at 425-9283. Again, all of these numbers are area code 843. We're about ready to take a break. We want you to know that the breaks are for the purpose, and one purpose only, is to help you to become more intimate with God. That is, that you can learn more about what He desires for you and what His will is for your life, so that you can be ready to meet Him face to face one day. I have a question here that's in my hand from Sam, and he wants to know, what does the Bible say about cremation? Well, Sam, the answer to that is nothing. The Bible doesn't say anything about that. However, notice this verse in Philippians chapter 2, when it talks about Jesus coming back, it says, "Therefore God has highly exalted Him, Christ, and given Him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth." So God does not leave out those that are under the earth, whether they have been cremated or swallowed by a fish or just deteriorated into nothingness over a period of time. All of those are going to bow before the knee of Jesus one day. And so it doesn't say how that is occurring or is supposed to occur, but those individuals do not cease to exist. They continue to wait for the great notable day that they will confess and bow before the knee of Jesus. And so hopefully that's been helpful to you. Well, with that in mind, every one of us needs to be prepared to be able to know Him, to know what He expects of us. The only way to do that is to see what God says in His Word. Even while Jesus was here, He was submissive to the Word of God. And so if He had to obey, He wanted to obey, we should too. The only way that we can do that is for us to know what His Word says. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you've never enrolled in one of these courses that's absolutely free, now's your chance. The number is 553-5157, and we'll send this to you absolutely free. You may learn things that you've never seen before. I know many of you take great pride in your ability to know what God's Word says. That's why you're tuning into this broadcast. However, if that has been within some kind of doctrinal box based upon your religion that you've been active in, well, then there are things that you may have never seen in God's Word before. So don't miss out on this. Enroll in this course today. You will learn things that are very vital in order for us to meet God face-to-face one day. The number again is 553-5157. You can call right now and enroll in that course, and we'll get it on its way to you right away. So we're going to go ahead and take this break right now. While we are at break, please continue to call in your questions. The voice line is 308-9564. The text line is 725-9283. We'll be right back. We are back live now, and we hope you will take advantage of that Bible correspondence course. You will benefit greatly because it will direct you to God's Word. And let me just give you a heads up on it. It is filled with scriptures, but you need to look and see those things for yourself. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So when you look and you read, you will be knowing that this is thus says the Lord, and you're not taking anybody's word for it. You can't say, "Oh, those guys on the radio, I'm taking their course." No, we want you to get into the Word of God and see those things for yourself, because that is what will never pass away. And so we need to make certain that we're hearing what God says, and thus you're able to give an account to Him whom we will stand before one day. So please don't miss out on this. That correspondence course, if you've never received it, is to be obtained by calling 553-5157. Go ahead and enroll right now. Now, if you have a question, go ahead and call the radio station at 308-9564, or you can text us your question with your cell phone by texting to 725-9283. Nick, you have the next question?
I do. So we have a question that says, "What does the Bible say about neighbors disrupting the peace and mistreating you, speaking bad about you. We were just talking about the idea of neighbors and how neighbors should treat one another. And then certainly the Bible would speak to how we are to behave towards, you know, our neighbors. You know, and you may be familiar with kind of the two great commands. One is to love God, you know, with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the other one would be to love your neighbor as yourself. And I believe as simple as that really is the answer. You know, if I'm loving my neighbor as myself, what will that look like? Will it look like, you know, me speaking poorly about them? Is that loving my neighbor as myself? Will it look like me mistreating my neighbor? Is that me loving my neighbor as myself? And would that look like me disrupting the peace? That is to say, I live in a neighborhood and I am so disruptive that I'm causing problems for my neighbors. I'm causing them grief. I'm causing them hardship. Does that look like loving your neighbor as yourself? I think we all know the answer to that. It doesn't. And so God would want us to be people who absolutely treat our neighbors really the way we want to be treated. So we've seen that. We've heard that. Love your neighbor as yourself. How do we respond to such a situation? So maybe it may be that I have this neighbor that's mistreating me. Well, God would have me to treat them appropriately. You know, I don't get to take vengeance on them. You know, maybe they're mistreating me, and I want to fix that situation, you know, by might. No, you can't do that. In Romans, the 12th chapter, this is the picture that God has for us on how to respond to that situation. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 17, and in fact, verse 16 says, "Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men." You mean the person that mistreat me? Yep. You mean the person that's causing me grief? Yep. You mean that neighbor that does things just to try to set me off? Yes, yes. I'm not to repay evil for evil, but I am to think the best of them. And verse 18 says, "If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men." And so that's what we should be trying to do. How can I encourage my neighbor not to mistreat me? How can I? And the way you do that typically is by showing grace and mercy towards, you know, towards them. You know, how did God win our hearts? When we were the enemies of God, he sent his son to be the sacrifice for our sins. Whoever would sacrifice for their enemies? Who's ever done that? That's what God does. And that's the example he shows us in dealing with those we may believe are our enemies. He goes on to say in verse 19, "Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. So if your enemy hungry, feed him," he says. "If he thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head." The overall message here is if your enemy needs something, you serve your enemy, you encourage your enemy, you help your enemy. And it may be that by you showing grace and mercy and love and kindness, that your enemy or this neighbor that's giving you this hard time may no longer be your enemy. I hope that's been helpful. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564. And we will let the Bible speak. We do have a text line that's available to you. That text number is 725-9283.
We have a caller from the last four digits of 9919, and their question is, who was the man Jacob wrestled with in Genesis 32:24? First of all, thank you so much for calling. All of you that have called in questions thus far, you are to be thanked. You are to be praised for your interest and desire to know what God says in his word. And we do not want to come across like we are ungrateful for your participation and your interest in God's word, because that's the whole purpose of this program, to help those that are seeking after God to find God. to help those that are asking the questions to find the answers to those questions. Yea, God promises that if someone seeks, they will find. If they knock, it shall be opened to them. If they ask, it shall be given. And so we are glad to be part of this promise that God has given, and we hope and pray that you are finding the answers from God himself. So thank you for your questions. And concerning this question, Genesis chapter 32 and verse 24, they wanted to know who is the man Jacob wrestled with. Let me just encourage you to read the context, and you'll be able to have greater insight into that question. Not that it is very clear, absolutely black and white, but let's just read it. And it says, "Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now, when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, 'Let me go, for the day breaks.' But he said, 'I will not let you go until you bless me.' And he said to him, 'What is your name?' And he said, 'Jacob.' And he said, 'Your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed.' And then Jacob asked him, 'Tell me, what is your name, I pray?' And he said, 'Why is it that you ask about my name?' And he blessed him there." And so there is all we know about that. It is implied that he struggled with an angel. That's what most people conclude from this. But it is not necessarily definitive that that was absolutely an angel from this context we see here. But it was someone that seemingly was a representative of God, and the word angel means a messenger, so I guess in that way it would be. But as far as his name is not revealed in this context. Thank you so much for your question. We sure do appreciate that very much. If I recognize your phone number, we appreciate you tuning in up in the Columbia area, and we're thankful that you are able to pick us up. I guess you're listening through either the internet or you're listening through the app on the smartphone called TuneIn Radio. Either way, we are glad that you're tuning in, and we've heard about your Bible studies, and we hope and pray that you are being blessed in your continual walk closer and closer to the Lord. Matter of fact, we wish that upon everyone listening today. And so if you are interested in knowing more about God's Word, then don't miss out on getting the Bible Correspondence course. Matter of fact, if some of y'all that have gone through this course or are in the process of it, we estimate that there's at any given time there's over 50 of you that are actively involved on a continuous basis in studying God's Word, and we are happy to send this to you. We literally have over 3,500 of you that have been sent the course and that we are glad to send to you. So please, it is free. Don't miss out on this. And we will be glad to send it to you free of charge. The number, again, to get that correspondence course is 553-5157. So make certain that you get that to you today, and it'll be in tomorrow's mail, Lord willing. 553-5157. We'll go ahead and take a break, letting your questions continue to come in. The number to call in by voice is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI, or if you'd rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283. We'll be right back. We are back live now, and we're so glad that you have an interest in knowing what God says and a desire to follow His Word. And the only way that we can do that is that we find out what His Word says. For example, if we were on a trip and we were going to drive to Canada, maybe to Alberta, Canada, well, the very first thing we would do is either get our GPS and let it instruct us in the way, but we need to get the G-O-D instead of the GPS to show us the way. The only way that He will do that is through His Word. It's not going to be through direct inspiration. It will be through His Word that He directs us. If somebody comes up with something else that they say is God's will, what we need to do is to look in the in His Word to find out if that is true. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, Paul himself said, "Even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. It was so important, he turned right around and says it again. As I said before, so now I say again, if anyone teaches any other message, any other gospel to you, then what you have been taught, what have been preached to you, let him be accursed. And that word accursed is the Greek word anathema, which would be like a super curse. So, ladies and gentlemen, it is not something to dicker with. We will give an answer based upon what his word says. So let's make certain that we are on course with God to the destination up north that is far beyond this planet, that we will be able to hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And thus we've walked on that straight and narrow path, and we'll be one of those few that find it. So let's find that path. Let's find that road, the one that God tells us about, not Pastor so-and-so, or even what our heart tells us. Let's find the path that he's revealed in his word and let the Bible speak and direct us all the way to heaven. Now, to get that Bible correspondence course, that number is 553-5157. Don't miss out on that. We'll get it in the mail to you this week. Now, if you have a question, we're waiting. Both lines are available, so now's your chance to get in. 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. And you can ask your question. It'll be written down or brought into us, your choice. Or you can go live over the air. If you have a question and you want to ask it live over the air, the only thing we ask is let us know your name and the subject matter that you are asking about before we pick up and put you on air, and that way that we'll be able to be polite and address your concerns even live over the air. So the choice is yours, 308-9564. That's the voice line. If you'd rather just text, you can do that as well. That is at 725-9283.
Just prior to the break, one of the questions that came in was, who was Jacob wrestling with? It got me to thinking about you and I. You know, are those who are trying to follow God, those who are trying to understand his will and do what he says, you know, who are we wrestling against? You know, it may be that we're wrestling against ourselves, because sometimes we know the truth, and yet we won't pursue or follow after it. And then sometimes we don't recognize that there's another force out there that we wrestle against. In Ephesians, the sixth chapter, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, the Bible says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principality, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." There are forces at work that's trying to pull us, tug on us, get us to choose to do the wrong thing, to get us to ignore God's truth. To get us to follow after our flesh, our own passions, our own desires, and then to convince us when we've done that we've not done anything wrong, but that it was okay for me to follow after wrong, or okay for me to follow after my own desires. When the Bible describes sin or temptation and the giving into temptation, the Bible describes it as it being something that I give into. Specifically, me giving into my own desires. In James chapter 1, the Bible says, "Let no one say," verse 13, "when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my brethren." The message is that in many cases, when I fall short, I want to find someone else to put that blame on. And again, these forces that we're wrestling against is trying to convince us that someone else is the cause for me doing things I should not do. And yet in James chapter 1, the Bible reveals that it's really my own desires that caused me to fall short. I've given in to temptation. And again, that's these things that we're wrestling against. And so we want to encourage you to think about What are you wrestling against? Are you wrestling against maybe family? Some folks, they stay in a religion, or they stay a part of a local group, even though they know the group is teaching something false, simply because there's family there or their heritage is there. And they don't want to walk away from that. And so they fight that battle. And they continue to do wrong or live in wrong, knowing what the truth is, but they continue to stay where they are because they don't want to make mom and dad mad, or even their brothers or sisters mad. They're fighting their own internal war. Some of us are fighting the war against, you know, our history, our past. You know, you can get involved in something in your past, and it's difficult to walk away from those things. And Satan will use those things against you. And so you'll always have a desire for those things because you dibbled and dabbled in it in your past. Some folks are having a hard time walking away from that. And so it's holding on to them. They're wrestling against their past. They're wrestling against history. What are you wrestling against? Whatever it is, God has the answer. He is the one that can equip us so that we can overcome the thing that we're wrestling against. You know, it's interesting in Ephesians chapter 6 where he tells us that we wrestle against, you know, spiritual wickedness. He also tells us in that same text in Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians 6. In verse 12, where he says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. In the same text, he says in verse 13, take on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And so God can equip us with what we need in order to stand against the things we wrestle against. If you have a question today, go ahead and give us a call. If this is something, the things that we just talked about, if that triggered a question in your mind, feel free to give us a call at 308-9564. 308-9564. If you wish, you can text in your question at 725-9283. That's 725-9283. And if you prefer, you can sign up for our Bible Correspondence Course. Maybe as you think about this battle of wrestling against the spiritual wickedness, you understand that you need to equip yourself with the whole armor of God. And the way you do that is to come to understand God's truth from His Word. And so the Correspondence Course will be a help to you as you try to equip yourself to withstand the day of evil. If that's something that you're interested in, go ahead and call 553-5157. That's 553-5157.
You know, the good thing about that is that you can take that course and study it anytime that you want to. It's not according to our timetable, but once we send it to you in the mail, you can let it be there in your favorite spot where you commune with God every day, wherever that is. And you can study that in the middle of the night, in the middle of the morning, in the afternoon, anytime you want to. But let me encourage to keep a Bible handy as you study through those things, through the course, so that you can concentrate and see that that's what the Bible is saying, is what God is saying. And so as you look and you see from God Himself in His Word, that you may be able to discover vital truth that you may have never seen before, which, if you don't know about it, may prevent you from your heavenly home one day. After all, most churches of today are restricted from telling the whole truth and nothing but the truth because they must operate from within the box that defines them as a denomination, or defines them as a local community church, or defined by their local pastor. And thus, that box will restrict you, and very well many times from what I've heard has actually been a little bit persecuting those that would try to question why they teach this or that or the other. For several weeks now, we've been offering a sheet that is called Go Ask Your Preacher, and thus we have been encouraged that by the outpouring of those of you that have asked for that, because there's a number of questions that come up on this program over and over again, that the Bible has always said the same thing every time we've answered those questions. It's never been changed at all. The Bible continues to say those things. And yet, unfortunately, many churches or many preachers, those that teach God's Word, do not like those answers. And so What we need to do is hold people accountable. You know, the good thing about that is if we do that now, then when God holds us accountable one day, if we have corrected our path according to His word, then His answer will be, well done, good and faithful servant. But if we have not corrected our path, then He will say, as He did in telling us what He's going to say in Matthew 7 and verse 23, He said, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And so we've got to get to the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth here and now, so that we will not be disappointed on that day. Now, the truth of the matter is, if we're following after that person that is teaching a partial truth, then we're going to be condemned right along with them. Yes, you heard me right. But don't listen to me. Let's go to Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, where Paul himself wrote this really set of churches there in Galatia. And he said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from Him who called you out of the world into the grace of God, and what you're removed is to follow a different gospel. He looked and said, you're removed from Him, and you have followed after a different gospel. Then he says, well, it's not a different gospel, but there are some that would pervert, change, manipulate, adapt the gospel message to fit their box that they operate in. Ladies and gentlemen, we do not have the right to invent God or even invent His word. What we need to do is let God make us, shape us. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, ladies and gentlemen, let us encourage you to follow the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help us God. And maybe this tool of this correspondence course is just what you need. So go ahead and call 553-5157. If you were not serious about this the first time you enrolled in this, then, hey, don't miss out on finding what God says and what He expects of us here and now. Let your friends and neighbors know about this as well. Call 553-5157, and we'll get that course in the mail to you right now. Now, if you have a question, go ahead and call right now. The radio broadcast, the studio here is 308-9564. That's for your questions. That's the voice line. Your question can be written down and brought in to us, or you can text us, if you'd rather, at 725-9283. We'll be right back.
We want to encourage you to always consider the Bible Correspondence Course as a means to or a tool to aid you in your study of God's Word. And so I know we talk about it week after week, and we continue to mention it. And the purpose is really to get you back into God's Word. Or if you're already a study-type person or a person who spent a lot of time studying God's Word, then this can be a tool to aid you or help you in your study. You know, imagine studying the Scriptures for years and years and years and never realizing that there are things that you might be missing. And so the beauty behind having this tool is that it will highlight some things that maybe you hadn't considered. And so that all by itself will change the nature of your study. You know, you begin to see things, go to different books that you hadn't gone to in the Bible. That will aid you and strengthen your knowledge in the things of God. If this is something that you are interested in, again, we encourage you to take advantage of it. It is free of charge. All the things that we offer, these tools that we offer, are free. And the entire motivation behind that is, how can we help you come to know God better? If you are interested in signing up for the Bible Correspondence Course or the Bible study that you do in your own home at your own pace, that's what we mean by correspondence study, then go ahead and call up 553-5157. That's 553-5157. You know, make sure you specify that you're interested in the Bible correspondence study, and you know, speak clearly, and we will try to get that to you in the mail. If in this life we miss out on heaven, then we've missed out on all that God had to offer us. If we miss salvation, we've missed it all. And so the purpose of life is not about you know, the fancy job or the great job. It's not about the fancy house. It's not about this car that I've always desired. Those things are going to burn. This world will come to an end. And if in the end, when we stand before God, we have nothing, and when I say nothing, nothing in that we have not obeyed him or served him, then we are set for a pathway to eternal destruction. That means that the life that we've lived would be worthless. It would not have any value at all. We would have wasted our entire life on this planet. And so we just can't afford to miss out on heaven. I can afford to do whatever it would take to come to know God, understand his will, that I might do what he says. That's the motivation here. How can we help you? How can we serve you in this endeavor, in this journey that we're all on? We're just trying to be right in his sight. The Correspondence Course is an aid to you in that. Again, if that's something that you're interested in, go ahead and call 553-5157. Or maybe today you have a question that's been on your mind for some time. You've heard the preacher or the pastor or the reverend or whoever, you know, whatever title they've given themselves, you've heard them say something. You've wondered whether or not is that really in the Bible? You're sitting there during your service. It's said, you heard it being said, and it just doesn't sit right with you because you know enough about the Bible where, you know, this seems to contradict what the Bible says. If you have a question like that, it'd be our pleasure to go to God's Word to try to find the answer. Go ahead and call right now. The number is 308-9564. Again, that number is 308-9564. Or you can text in your question if you would prefer. That text line is 725-9283. 725-9283.
Both lines are now available, so now's your chance to get your question in. 308-9564, 308-9564, and you can be the next question on the air. And so please don't hesitate to call in your question now, and we'll go to the Bible for the answer. This program is called Let the Bible Speak, and so you set the theme, you set the topic, but it is God that gives the answers. And so please don't miss out on this opportunity. Many of you know that at the end of the broadcast, many times the lines fill up, and thus we're not able to get to all those questions. So please do not miss out on getting your question in right now. Again, the number is 308-9564. And we will get your question, and you can either have your question written down and brought into us, as most people do, or if you'd like, you can go live on the air. The only thing that we ask is that you give us your name and the subject matter of which you are concerned with, and thus we're able to treat you with politeness by calling you by name and able to look and find out what God says in his word. Now, that's our voice line, 308-9564. Or if you'd rather, you can also text us at 725-9283. And we will be glad to take your question and be able to go to the Bible for the answer. And so we noticed that we just dropped one of the phone calls. We apologize for that. So please, if you don't mind, call back and you will be able to get through. We apologize for that. That number again is 308-9564. The line is now available, so go ahead and call and we will get to your question as well. Again, that number is 308-9564. The text line, 725-9283. You can get through either way. Both lines are available and the text line is available. And we will let the Bible speak. Nick, you have the next question.
Yes. So Kim calls in today again. Kim, we sure appreciate it. It says in James chapter 4, verse 1, war in your members. So I think that you're asking kind of give an explanation for that. You know, why is that happening? Well, in James chapter 4, verse 1, he says, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure, that war in your members? And when he says war in your members, maybe you're asking, what does that mean? Typically, when the Bible talks about war in your members or use the word members, it's talking about your body. All right. So your body has members, you know, your arm, your leg, your arms is a member of your body, your legs is a member of your body. And this point here is that we can have desires that's warring within us, warring within our members. I have a desire to touch some things. I have some desire to look at some things that I don't have any business looking at, or things touching things that I have no business touching. And those things can generate strife and conflict among God's people. It really is a depiction of being worldly versus being spiritually minded, or it's a depiction of being carnal, which is really worldly, fleshly. And if that becomes the thing that drives me, then certainly I'm not going to have unity with spiritually minded people or God's people. And a congregation where people are driven by their own passions, their own desires, their own fleshly desires, there's going to always be problems between those who are spiritually minded and those who are fleshly minded. And this was a common thing, it seemed, in the Bible time. Paul writes to the church at Corinth, and he addressed the fact that they had not grown the way they should have, and that they were, in fact, a very fleshly, worldly group of Christians. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse 1, he says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal." Again, carnal means fleshly, worldly. He says, "As to babe in Christ, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able." And so part of the problem is these folks were not growing like they should. That's what drives this, you know, passion, desires, fleshly, carnal desires. That's what drives it. When I don't grow like I'm supposed to, and then, of course, that I'm going to be at war, if you will, with those who are spiritually minded. So I hope that's been helpful to you. I'm assuming that that's what you want to kind of talk about concerning this passage, this warring in members. And it really has to do with this internal war that happens within ourselves, which is then seen as we interact with our other brothers and sisters.
There's a lot of conflicts like that that Jesus asks of us. There are things that he tells us to do that are just not natural. For example, turn the other cheek is not natural. Or to love your enemy is not natural. Or to go the extra mile is not natural. And to get over ourselves and to submit to God, well, that's just not natural, because we tend to want to create God in our image rather than letting God create us into the image that he desires, that we would be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So there's many things that God asks of us that's just not natural. And so that is so true and a good passage. I don't think anybody's ever called us on that passage before. And good topic, good thoughts. And we sure do appreciate your question so very much. And hopefully that has been helpful to you. The voice line is available now, so we noticed we missed one of your calls earlier. We can only talk to one person at a time, and so you can call back if you would like. That number is 308-9564, although we have two lines. If both calls come in at the same time, then one of them will just ring until we can get to the second one. But go ahead and call back, if you will, 308-9564, and we'll get your question, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. The text line stays available as well, and that number is 725-9283. It's time for us to take our next break. While we are at break, continue the questions coming in, and we will go to the Bible for the answers to the question on your mind. The number again for the voice line for your questions is 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. Horace will be to your question in just a second. So we look forward to that on the other side of the break. Again, the number 308-9564. We've noticed a number of y'all have taken advantage of this free course. Please know it is F-R-E-E, free. We are happy to send this to you. It is freely given, and we are freely willing to share. But the thing is, it will be very costly if we leave this life without knowing how God expects us to behave. So go ahead and call right now, and here's information on that. We'll be right back.
308-9564 is the number here at the radio station, so go ahead and call in your question. Again, do not or try not to wait till the last few minutes of the program, because it's difficult for us to get to the questions. If you have a question that's been on your mind, go ahead and call right now. 308-9564. If you prefer, you can text in your question. That text line is 725-9283. I want to make mention again that we do have the correspondence course you've heard about during the course of our breaks. That's available to you free of charge. Want to encourage you to take advantage of it. We noticed that some of you have signed up for it already, and so we want to encourage our other listeners to be like your fellow peers and go ahead and sign up for the correspondence course as a tool to aid you in your study of God's Word. If this is something that you want to do, that number is 553-5157. That's 553-5157. So go ahead and sign up right now. To join us here at the station with your question, go ahead and call 308-9564.
We just had a call come in from on our voice line, and I mean on our text line. So if you want to voice your question, call 308-9564. That is the voice line. If you have a question, call 308-9564, and you can get your question on the air right now. Or if you would rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283. That is the text line, 725-9283. There was also a call that came in that says, repeat the answer to the who was wrestling with Jacob. The answer was, we do not know. It seems to imply that it was an angel, because it equates it to seeing God in the context. So just read in the context and you will see that it seemed to be someone of divine authority to be able to change his name from Jacob to Israel. But it doesn't state that it was an angel. Most imply that it was. And so we just don't know. Matter of fact, even ask him, who are you? And again, the answer is not given in the context. So all we can do is just read it and let it stand right there so that we do not add to God's word. And so, again, that would be the thing to do. But thank you so much for your question. We have a question that just came in reference to, go ahead, Nick.
So it was a text question, at three digits, 207. It says, how can most churches pay for what's needed in the body if not for members paying tithes? And so we certainly appreciate the question. Couple of things. One, probably the thing that's most apparent on the surface is if we're talking about the church being able to pay for what's needed, then, you know, it's really not that difficult if we're talking need. Where it becomes challenging is if we get into want. And so if we go out and we want a very elaborate sanctuary or building, then, you know, that becomes very difficult to afford those kinds of things. So if we're talking want versus need, then, you know, it's challenging for a group to afford, you know, whatever their heart desire concerning worship. But we're just talking about what the Bible reveals as a matter of need to do the work of God. Well, it's not that difficult to be able to provide for that, just following the basic principles that the scripture use. So just because, you know, today God's people don't tithe, we do find in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, the first several verses there, and then also in 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6, 7, 8, in that area, a command to have a collection or to give. And that giving can support the needs necessary for worship. Now, when the Bible describes needs, it only talks about two things, and that's food and clothing. You can look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 32 and 33, and he'll talk about those things that are needed. And the context is food and clothing. We find the same thing in James chapter 2, I believe it is, James 2. He talks about those things that are needful for the body in verse 16. And again, that's food and clothing. Well, the church, when it gathers together, doesn't have a need for food, and the church don't have a need for clothing. When we talk about the body, and you talk about the work that it does. And so the focus of the church is to worship God. And that is a surrendering of yourself to bow down before the mighty throne of God. You know, it doesn't take money to accomplish that. And thus, the church needs to be about evangelism, and that's sharing the word of God. And so, in truth, it doesn't take, you know, tons of money to do that. that work can be done without tons of money. And so if we're just trying to look at what God says do and do those things, well, the church is adequately equipped to do that based upon how it's supposed to collect monies from the local body. And that does not include tithing. But if we get outside of need and we get into the picture, the phase of want, then certainly the collection will never be enough to sustain our own desires.
Yes, and there's where the problem is. As far as when people think of a church today, they're thinking of what's down on the corner or in a strip mall, and they're always needing, as they put it, more and more and more. Well, when you look at the church in the Bible, you see them meeting down by the riverside in Philippi. You see them meeting in the courtyard. You see them meeting in the upper room of people's homes. And you do not see the kind of superstructure that man has come up with all these multi-levels of authorities. No, Christ has all authority. With all of these various activities, and from center to recreation to benevolent organization, you just don't see that. That is not in the Bible at all. And so as far as the church needing anything, well, what we need to understand is God expects us to make certain that we define things, speak as the Bible speaks, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. That's what we should be doing. And anything above that, well, you can't call that need. And so we live so far above what the Bible refers to as need that it is not even silly. I mean, it's ridiculous how far above that we do live. 1 Timothy 6 brings out we should be content with those things. So as far as tithe in the Old Testament, that was always done to the Levites. Now, if you go to our website, which is at www.BibleAlone.com, and go to the Bible materials, you will see a full article with verses of Scripture showing all about what the kind of tithing was supposed to be used for. And it was not money as we refer to it today. It would be commodities, probably would be the best way to describe that. And so that kind of tool for churches to get more money out of people, well, that's just absolutely wrong. Matter of fact, Galatians 5 and verse 4 says, God has become of no effect unto you. You, whoever of you are justified by law, you are fallen from grace, or you've become estranged from Christ, another translation says. So do we want to be divorced from Christ? Well, then let's go back to the old law, and that will accomplish that very quickly. But if we want to follow Christ, we need to follow what he says in his word, because he's the one that's going to judge us on the judgment day. So let's just speak as the Bible speaks, follow the law of Christ, because you see, Jesus himself said, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. So if he's got all authority, that means Moses doesn't, that means Isaiah doesn't, that means Jacob doesn't, and so on. We've got to listen to him. He's the one that we will have to do with on that day. And so we better listen to his word now. And religion is not about money. You'll notice on this broadcast, we never ask for a donation. Matter of fact, we say, please do not send us your money. Put your pocketbooks away. Put your checkbooks away. Let us send you treasure. The treasure that will never be taken away from you. That is, that which God will give you in heaven when we hear and obey what his word says. So how are we going to get that treasure? Well, we need to learn what God says. So why not go ahead and enroll in the Bible Correspondence Course? It is free, and we're happy to send it to you. That number to get that course is 553-5157. That's area code 843, and then the number is 553-5157, and it will get in the mail this week to you, and we're happy to send it to you free of charge. So let's see what the Bible says. Let's apply what God says, and let's quit listening to what man has come up with, especially. It doesn't take a genius to figure out what they are after. if they are always talking about money, we need more money, and passing the plate and things like that, you just don't see that in the Bible at all, do you? I agree. So let's obey God. Let's do what he says. Again, if you want the course, we'll send it to you free, 553-5157, and we'll be glad to send it to you. Here's our last break, so make certain you take advantage of this, 553-5157. The voice line, there's one voice line available. Go ahead and call, and we'll get your question in on today's broadcast as we let the Bible speak.
Again, we want to encourage you to take advantage of the correspondence course. This is our last segment, but you can sign up for the course right now, and if you decide to do it later, you can do that, but we always tell folks, while it's on your mind, while you're thinking about it, go ahead and do it right now. The number to call is 553-5157, 553-5157, to sign up for the Bible Correspondence Course to aid you in your study of God's Word. Just before we went to break, we got a text message that came in, and it was a text question that basically asked about Acts chapter 9 and verse 5. Where the Bible uses the word prick or goad, where Jesus is talking to Paul. And this is prior to Paul, who was once Saul. I think he was Saul of Tarsus at this time. Later, his name would be changed to Paul. But Jesus would tell him that it was hard for him to kick against the goads, New King James says. I think King James says pricks. Again, that was Acts chapter 9 and verse 5. And the question is, you know, what are these goads? What are these pricks? What does that mean? Best I can tell, when we look at the Greek word, is that these were like wooden or iron, like sticks that were used to urge animals in one direction or another. So it would be oxen or horses, and they would use that to kind of prod them along. And so when God tells Saul, who really thought that what he was doing was right, that it was hard to kick against the prick, that he was actually kicking against or resisting God. So he's going about in, you know, just the previous chapter, Acts chapter 8, and he's persecuting Christians. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 1, the Bible says, now Saul was consenting to his death, that is the death of Stephen. He was persecuting the church, and, you know, the Bible shows how that in verse 3 that Saul made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. And so God was saying to him, you do realize that you're fighting against me. And that's the idea behind it is hard to kick against the goads. His efforts, although his conscience was clear, his efforts were futile and vain because he was fighting against the one that he actually thought that he was fighting for. I hope that's been helpful to you. So join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564. That's the number here at the station. Go ahead and get your question in. Again, I mentioned earlier that this is our last segment, so we only have a few minutes. So if you don't haven't gotten your question in, please call right now, 308-9564.
We have Steve calling in this question, and he wants to know, pastors retiring, is that biblical? I thought they worked until they died. Well, there, Steve, it's a really interesting question, and it's hard to I have to answer that in two different ways. Not different ways, but two facets of it. First of all, to define what a pastor is, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, there those men that were referred to as pastors was not a elevated position, but a role in which they took upon themselves after they were qualified. Now, qualifications are recorded in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, and Titus chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. And so those 20-something characteristics there must be embraced or exhibited in order for someone to even function in that kind of role. And then they're called pastor, elder, bishop, overseer, presbyter, shepherd. All of these words are referring to them, but none of them are entitlements. They are roles in which they function in that capacity. Now, as far as someone functioning in that capacity, not like the modern-day pastor over a church setup, that is foreign to the Scriptures. That is nowhere in the Bible where one man is over a church and he's called a pastor. Let me repeat that, ladies and gentlemen. Please do not miss this. If you don't hear anything today, hear this. And that is The Bible never depicts a church where one man called a pastor oversees the operations of that church, that congregation. Did you understand me? So that is totally foreign to the scriptures, and I know that that is prevalent among many churches today. It's never a one-man show, except for the man who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and then it is a one-man show, and he's sitting on his throne in heaven. We better listen to him. But now, as far as pastors retiring, if someone thinks about that as a role or a position where they are hired or fired from, again, that is totally foreign to the Bible. Now, these men that may function in this capacity, they have these 20-something characteristics. When they cannot do those things, then they should step down from that role and no longer try to function in that if it is physically impossible for them. The word elder is applied to them. So many times these are older men, and illness may prevent them from functioning that way. Or maybe their wife is no longer grave. They maybe have done something to disqualify them. I hate to put it that way. That may be the case as well. And so, the whole question, I hope, is not referring to this kind of role today. Now, if it is talking about someone serving the Lord and they are teaching God's word, well, I think you're right, because Philippians 1, beginning with verse 21, says, Paul talking about himself, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you." There, Paul describes himself, who was not a pastor, overseer in any way. He did not qualify because he was not married, so he couldn't function that way. But nevertheless, he says, our serving the Lord as teaching of God's word, it is a lifelong procedure till the day we die. And so we are to serve the Lord that way. But if you're talking about biblical pastors, shepherds, overseers, bishops, then that is something that where there are qualities, and those qualities must be exhibited in order to function in that way. It's not a matter of a position that you're hired for. Thanks, Steve, for your question. Sorry about having to answer it in two different ways, but please read those passages, 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 8, Acts chapter 20, verses 17 through 28, 1 Peter 5, verse 1 and 2, and that'll give you more insight. Thank you so much for your question. Again, the number is 308-9564. Nick, you have the next question?
I do. So we sure appreciate Wendy calling in today. We sure appreciate that. Wendy says, explains if tithes were money or something else. Well, Wendy, I'm going to do something that I don't typically do, and I'm going to point you in the direction of our website. There is a study there, an exhaustive study on tithing, and I think it's helpful to all our listeners, those who have questions about tithing, to go out and to download that document and read it. The website is www.biblealone.com. That's www.biblealone.com. And what you want to do is, if you're using your phone, you may have to select desktop view so that you can actually see the site the way you would normally see it on a PC. And you want to select Bible materials. Now, underneath the Bible materials link, you're going to see a series of titles that's available for you to download. You want to select the one that says tithes. Was it to be money? And there's a four-page document, a four-page study, where you can go and you can see for yourself. You can go and you can correspond with your Bible, looking at the scriptures to see whether this makes sense. But I'll tell you, I'll go ahead and give you the surprise ending, that when we look in the scriptures, tithing was never money. It was always other things like crops or livestock, those kinds of things. But I encourage all of our listeners, make this pledge. Do this one thing for yourself. If you're tithing today and you believe that you're supposed to tithe, go ahead and download this document. Again, the website is www.biblealone.com. You select Bible materials when you're in the desktop view. You select Bible materials and then select tithes. Was it to be money? And I guarantee you it will open your eyes from the scriptures, because it's going to drive you right to the scriptures, and you're going to be surprised about what you read. And so, again, take advantage of that. If you still have questions, call in next week, and we can discuss further this idea. But I like to believe that material will help you and help all of our listeners. The other call we got was from Ben, and he just wanted to say, thank you for teaching me. Well, Ben, we sure appreciate your good attention, and we hope the things that we share is a help to you, and that you're not hearing us at the end of the day, that you're hearing God's word, that you're going and you're searching these things out in the scripture, so that if you are being taught by us, it is not us, but it is the word of God, which came from the Holy Spirit, which came from Jesus, which came from God.
That's a lot of avenues that it went through. But the bottom line is, or maybe the top of the line is, it all came from God when we look into his word and follow it. And so we've all glory belongs to him, and we've got to go there and give all the glory and honor to whom honor and glory is due, which is God. And we've got to find the answers there in his word. It is really interesting to note how many times this subject of money comes up on this broadcast. And it probably is because we tell you to not send us your money. Do not send us your tithes. Do not send us your offerings. We are happy to send you the treasure in God's word, and we're glad to be able to do that. Matter of fact, everything we send in the mail, everything we send to you is absolutely free. And we are happy to do this because we have freely received from God, and we are freely willing to give. Some of you may be interested in knowing about the group of people that are involved in this. We are a group that meets in Goose Creek area, and we are more than happy to sit down with you if you live in this area with an open Bible. We want you to see what God says in his word, not to convert you to churchianity or to get you to change religion, but we want you to listen to God exclusively and follow the truth and nothing but the truth, God's word, and he will help you in that. He says, if you seek, you will find. If you knock, it shall be opened to you. If you ask, it shall be given. And so that is so very important that we, in fact, do that so that we can find the answers that God wants us to have. Now, the only question is, am I that seeker? Am I that knocker? Am I the one that is asking the questions? If you are, God will make certain. Many of you, when we get to meet you face to face, you confess right off the bat, you say, you know, I have been waiting for this opportunity for weeks, months, years, some of you decades, and they are seeking after, you are seeking after him. And so please, don't miss out on the opportunity. We'll be glad to sit down with you. If you are in this area, we would be thrilled to meet you face to face. So don't miss out on that. Again, just let us know, and we will assist in every way we can. The number for the Bible Correspondence Course is 553-5157. That will be active for you for the next few minutes, so don't miss out on that. More than one can call at a time, so don't feel you can't get through. That's 553-5157 for the free course. It is free. Now, if you have questions, don't hesitate to call. Although we're about to run out of time, we will get to your questions the next week. So be sure to tune in next week at 1:30, and we will go to the Bible right off the bat with your question in hand, and we will be glad to answer it next week starting at 1:30 till 3 o'clock on this radio broadcast. So we're on every Sunday afternoon, so don't miss out. Let me also urge you, those of you that do call in on the voice line, to keep your questions and discussions short so that we can answer the questions live over there, or bring them, get them into us quickly, and we can go to the Bible for the answers to those questions. And we're happy to be able to be of this, provide you with a service, to provide you with the Bible Correspondence Course, and thus we're able to supply you with all the things you need to be able to find the answers that will help you in eternal life. We are out of time. We thank you for listening today. Be sure to get this course in the mail to you by enrolling today. Here's more information on that. But until next week, let us say thank you for listening, and we look forward to letting the Bible speak through all the efforts that we make. In Jesus' name, he is the one that makes all this possible.